Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
Jim, you've been selected to be the next Haunting Guru guest on Hauntcast. Come on down! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Anyway, so that was kind of my email to you, which I thought was kind of funny. Amusing to myself, but yet to no one else. Just like everything else that comes out of my mouth. Okay, so Jim, you are actually a faithful Hauntcast minion.
Yes, I am.
And you have been for how many years? How many years have you had this problem?
I believe this is the fifth year. I started with the first episode of the first year.
You were in on episode one?
Episode one.
And you kept listening?
Absolutely. I think I was the third paid subscriber because I had to wait till I got home from work to jump online to subscribe. And then this year, I was your first paid resubscriber.
That's right, because you won something. I gave a T-shirt or something like that.
Yeah, well, we tested out the PayPal.
Yeah, link
for the link for the fifth season.
So what is your major malfunction, sir?
Let me get my wife, and she can go on.
The reason that your game is so elevated right now, that you are at the level that you are at this point, is because you are a podcast minion.
Absolutely. There could be no other reason.
Dude, it does up your game. There's no denying it takes your game up a notch.
The only picture of me that's made the paper is me wearing my Hauntcast T-shirt.
No, that's the one where you had it like tied up on, like it was like the lower end was tied up in a knot, right, like right under your man boobs.
Oh yes.
And you had
you've got that one on your desk.
Your sleeves pulled up over your arms. So you had your flabs hanging out there and shit. Yeah. That's Now, we had a chance to meet at Transworld. We sat at the bar that when I lost my voice. That was the Saturday afternoon that we chatted, wasn't it?
We did talk briefly there, yes.
That's when I was like, I can't speak. I lost my voice.
Yeah. Yep.
I probably sounded better than I do now. How long have you been haunting, man? How long have you been into all this foolishness and... Like, what was your first recollection of Halloween?
First recollection was, of course, growing up. But, I've got two kids. They're older now. They're in their 20s. We always did the plastic leaf bags with pumpkins on them and the wood cutouts and all that.
What a nerd.
I know. And people used to come up and go, wow, we love your house. So,
I'm totally being an asshole because everybody does that stuff when they start out. Nobody starts out and they're like friggin' pumpkin rod or, one of these. Dude, we all start out and we graduate. We go in, kindergarten and we get the leaf bags and the inflatables. So I never had an inflatable, but I probably would have back in the day. We start out with these like things and we graduate. We elevate, go into a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, yeah, I discovered pneumatics. Oh, I discovered animatronics. I discovered this. I discovered VSA. It all takes a period of time for us to totally disintegrate our brain devolve into this haunter type mentality. But anyway, I digress. So that was back in what year, roughly?
99.
Okay, 99.
Stops at 99.
Turn of the century, 2000s. Yep. Well, I remember it well.
So, well, this time, mid-August 2006, I'm just surfing online, and I come across some Halloween sites, and I come across the Flying Crank Ghost Plans and the Crypt by Phantasmechanics. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, wow, this is cool. I could do this. So I quickly run out, buy my first pink foam and my first wig head. And for Halloween, we had the Flying Crank Ghost in the mausoleum. and a couple other props. From there, it just expanded. First couple years, we added a ton of static.
Just like your waistline. Boom, boom, boom.
I didn't think the video camera was showing that low. Yeah, so it was like 2008 or 2000. Yeah, it was about 2008. There's a make and take group here in the Chicago area, Chicago Haunt Builders. They were doing the Casa Fears Groundbreaker, a pneumatic version of it, all steel.
It's hilarious how he became a legend over that stupid
thing. Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah.
No, I love Spencer, and he's a faithful minion. You know, I'm not, no disrespect, Spence, but he became a fucking like a legend over that simple concept. It was just like it wasn't revolutionary, but yet it was like nobody thought of it, and he just did it, and it was like, oh my god, this is the most amazing thing ever! Holy shit!
Now, I bet you half the country, it's their first pneumatic prop, is the Casa
Fear. Dude, it's like a trash can trauma in an FCG.
Yeah.
Like, you go like, yeah, so I built a trash can trauma, I have my first FCG, and I got my first Casa Fear pneumatic zombie.
Fun. So, through the group, we built that, and then, so now I'm up to probably have 30, 32 pneumatic props this year.
Now, I noticed you had your kind of your corn, I don't know, actually, I'm sorry, your pumpkin creep pneumatic
prop. Yeah.
Which has multiple movements. You have, just rattle off a few of your pneumatic disasters.
Or so,
whatever you call them.
The pumpkin creeper is huge. I don't know, it's 15 feet long. Comes up from a sitting crouching position, comes on up, rises up, spins its head, comes right out to the faces of the people, checking out everything, and sits back down. Gosh, I got columns, pneumatic columns, with either the top opens or the drop panel comes out, side panels come out, have some risers, got the vile things obelisk that opens up. Got the skeletons carrying the coffin, the banging coffin, and then the front drops open and a skeleton slides out. Spider prop comes out and sprays at people. I've got Grim Reaper comes up. Got some new risers and sliders coming out this year. Working on finishing them up, hopefully. So it'll be about 30, 32 different pneumatic props this year.
How many compressors do you have running?
I have a 70-gallon, and then I have about 70 gallons of reserve. And then actually, I had to bring in my old 30-gallon for Halloween night just because I couldn't keep up. There's about 2,500 people that stop by Halloween night. Wow. So, I mean, it's just stuff's just firing off left and right.
Is it just on a set routine, or do you have some kind of a trigger that's setting off the different?
Well, they're triggered, and they're triggers that are going to be the death of me. They're the PIR triggers.
And I understand why they'd be the death of you.
Yeah. I'm looking to.
I hate those PIRs.
Oh my gosh!
I hate them. They just are so erratic. They just go off nonstop. I have one in my haunt right now on this Bushwhacker from DC Props, and I'm in this email loop with him and John from Tex Effects. Effects Tech. The prop one. I want to trade out the PIR for a brake beam. For that prop, because the thing is, it goes off erratically. Like I say, I don't need to add any more pneumatics to my haunt. I need to fine-tune and fix the ones that always fuck up every year. Now, you're located where?
Carroll Stream, Illinois. It's a suburb about 30 miles outside of the city.
Okay, so now where does the name come from then?
Well, oddly enough, we live on Canyon Trail.
No way!
What is the chances of that happening?
Okay, so I guess that's why you call it the Canyon Trail.
Yep.
keep going.
So
ignore me.
All right. Yeah, it's all display. We don't do a haunt. We have done a dot room on Halloween night. We did that for 3 or 4 years. We haven't done that in the last couple years just because it's just too much going on Halloween day to get it.
Wait a minute. You won Best Yard Haunt. You're telling me you're not doing a haunt? What the frig, man? I was robbed.
That is why I was surprised when I received it.
No, I'm kidding. I know that loosely it's a display, a haunt, whatever. Yeah. So just tell me to shut up and just keep talking.
No, we set up the end of September. It's up all month long. It's evolved into pretty heavily trafficked. Like I said, we've got about 2,500 people who stop by on Halloween. We have to put out cones and everything to block off the street so that some kids don't get run over. But a lot of people I hear on the forums and talking how, you know, their spouse doesn't get into it. I'm very fortunate. My wife is as into it as I am. And fortunately, she has skills. So she's incredibly artistic. I'm brute force kind of guy. So I'll put the mechanics together or the rough prop together, and then I'll turn to her and I'll say, okay, I need a pumpkin head that looks something like this. And she'll go ahead and crank it out. So like the pumpkin creeper, you know, I just told her I gave her a big foam pumpkin and said, I need a head for this. And she went and sculpted it out. So it really works well. In fact, last year was our 25th anniversary, and we spent the entire 20-day doing nothing but setting up our haunts, and actually never made it out to dinner.
Well, what's your anniversary?
End of September.
You don't know the date? Is this at the end of September?
Well, that way, you know, she can't pin me down to a date. But, yeah, September 27th.
Well, So you do know it. So you are a big softy.
I know that because we had little magnet favors at our wedding, and our refrigerator, 25 years later, is still covered with magnets with our names and the date on there. I think it's a ploy, so I would never, ever forget our anniversary.
What else do we need to know about your haunt? Talk to me.
Well, we do accept donations for the local food pantry or the Dalmatian Rescue of Illinois, or Illinois Dalmatian Rescue. We started that because a few years ago, we started getting, we got a couple pizzas sent to our house anonymously. And people started asking what they could do, you know, hey, thanks for doing this, what can we do? And, you know, we're in a position that while we're not independently wealthy, we're able to do this. We enjoy it. We get it for our own satisfaction. It's great. We get to meet the neighborhood, meet all our neighbors that, you know, mostly, you know, you'd never, ever see. So we're pretty grateful. We don't need anything. And quite frankly, with the cost of it, we'd never recoup it, as you well know. So we said, let's accept non-perishable food for the food pantry. And then we're pretty big on rescuing dogs. So we've rescued now 2 Dalmatians. Any cash we receive, we turn over to them. So it's a few hundred every year and about a pickup load full of food that we take over to the food pantry.
What's your favorite stuff to work with? Favorite props to build?
My favorite would be pneumatics. I love cutting steel and welding. So I have 300 or 400 feet of 1-inch tube steel in my garage right now. There's something about just cutting steel and then welding that it's all about the flippy helmet when you're welding. Once you get that helmet flipped down, you're sold into welding.
Did your haunt group get you into this, or was this something you just decided to pick up on your own?
Oh, no.
It was because you listened to my interview with Brent Ross, and you said, dude, I gotta get into welding.
Actually, one of the big reasons you did interview him, it's Toby Rolson from Haunt 31. You know, he taught me a lot about pneumatics and, you know, steel and building everything. So he's been a great resource. After that, probably foam. It's incredible what you can do with foam.
Any particular, like, really good scare or some, like, amazing incident that happened at your hunt one year that, like, was just stands out?
Nothing that really stands out. We do get, actually, Halloween night, we get some people from the local professional haunts who stop by afterwards, and they come and hang out and work the crowd. It was kind of weird the first year, but once we got to know them, it was fine. But
what haunts are they?
11th Hour.
How far are they?
They're about 10-12 miles away. Chicago has a ton of haunts. Dream Reapers is making a comeback. It's Carnival, and then there's just a ton of haunts. Probably the best haunt we've gone to is the Christmas Dream Reapers, when they were having a Christmas after they got robbed. They opened up for Christmas to get some of the cash back. And my daughter was out in Montana at the time, so we picked her up from the airport. She's got this big yellow Pokemon hoodie on, and we go straight from the airport to Dream Reapers. So she is the perfect haunt guest, because she's terrified of anything. And so everyone else is wearing black, and she's there in this yellow hoodie, and she was tormented the entire time she went through that. And I just laughed my focus off the whole time.
Anything else you want to talk about as far as your haunt or whatever?
Other than I can't say enough about the make and take group we've got, Chicago Haunt Builders. It's an incredible group. There's someone with every skill out there, and everyone's willing to drop everything and help you out, and just some incredibly bright people. And I know we would not be where we are now without them.
How many people show up at a given make and take?
It can vary anywhere from 6 to 40.
How often do you do them?
There's not a regular schedule, so it's obviously busier in the summer, because not a lot of us have heated garages. So in the summer, we might have one every couple weeks to once a month. And then in the winter, it's quieter. But we do a lot of social stuff, too. We'll get together for, you know, we'll go to Trans World and we'll go out to dinner together. So, you know, we'll find some restaurant that can handle 30 or 40 people and we'll go out to dinner.
All right, dude. So other than that, people can find you. They can find your haunt website at
CanyonTrailCemetery.com.
They can find you on Facebook at
Canyon Trail Cemetery. And then on YouTube at JSlanks, JSLANKS.
All right, Jim. We'll catch you around the net later.
All right, man.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.